You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
And good morning and happy Monday to everyone. Welcome to Catholic Schools Today on Relevant Radio 950 AM. I'm Wayne Najars, and today on the program, a look at one of the Archdiocese of Chicago's most well-respected and accomplished high schools and what it is doing in offering an outstanding educational program for a diverse student body and promotion of the identity through living and proclaiming a shared vision of Christian faith. And later on in the program, what two of our archdiocesan parishes are doing with a new early childhood education program after their schools were closed because of declining enrollments and financial difficulties. First on the program this morning, this past Saturday, St. Martin De Porres High School in Waukegan graduated its second four-year class of 29 seniors who come from Waukegan, Beach Park, and North Chicago. St. Martin De Porres opened in 2004 after an extensive feasibility study to determine the viability of the school in the Cristo Rey model. And with that model, each student participates in the corporate internship program to assist them with the cost of their education. This year's class, for example, earned more than $800,000 in scholarship awards from colleges and community organizations. Joining us to talk more about it this morning is Joe Valinsky. He is the Director of Development for St. Martin De Porres High School. Joe, good morning and welcome to Catholic Schools Today.
Good morning, Wayne. It's great to be with you today, and thank you for having us.
Well, congratulations on the second graduating class. Tell us how it's going over there.
Sure. Well, as Saturday, we obviously celebrated a great day with our class of 2009, the second four-year graduating class, receiving their diplomas at Holy Family Parish in Waukegan. And each year, as we have more graduations and more graduates, that number of that amount of financial aid that you mentioned at the outset of the program continues to go up, and we are so proud of some of these graduates. As you mentioned, we're a Catholic college prep school that has been established in the Cristo Rey Network tradition to serve students with limited financial and educational options. So to have graduated that class, and with 97% of that class accepted to college, it's just an achievement that we want to celebrate about, and we're glad to be able to share this with a larger audience today.
That's a great statistic, 97%. Now, when you started the school, began in 2004, right?
Correct.
And did you start with just a freshman class, or did you slowly build up to a four-year program? How did it go?
So we built in two different ways. We did start with a sophomore, junior, and senior class. That first class, though, was a smaller class, so we didn't have the initial 4 years. So 2 years ago was our first graduating class in 2007, which contained 13 graduates. In 2008, 32, and then this year, 29. And the real good news is, as those graduation classes continue to happen, the word continues to get out here in the greater Lake County community. So this year, we saw a real spike in applications, and so we're bucking some trends, and we actually had double the number of applications that we had a year ago.
That's good. Now, how many applications and how many spots do you have, for example, for the incoming freshman class?
So for every four students that we have at St. Martin De Porres High School, we have a corporate work-study job ready for them. So we're growing slowly based on the number of jobs that we can attain in this work-study program. So right now we're looking at a freshman class of 75 next year. And the ultimate goal here with St. Martin De Porres High School is to grow to about 400 students. This year we were at around 220 students.
Now, as the school grows and as the program kind of gets settled in and develops, and we want to talk about the Cristo Rey model in a little bit as well, you obviously are also growing your faculty. Tell us where you look for your faculty and what kind of attributes you look in order to make sure that they're the right fit for St. Martin De Porres.
Sure. Well, one thing that the entire faculty and staff have in common is that they are all mission-driven and committed to the ideals of St. Martin De Porres High School and the Cristo Rey Network. So we do have a pretty diverse teaching body. We have college graduates who are just just out of school and have their degrees, and this is something they were looking to do when they leave school. And then at the other end of that spectrum, we also have teachers who have retired from their first career in education, possibly in the public schools. We have a few teachers there who are just master teachers who then decided to start a second career here at St. Martin de Porres.
Okay, and the Crystal Ray model, many have heard about it, but there may be some of our listeners this morning who aren't quite familiar with it. Talk a little bit about how it is really unique in delivering a high school education for these students.
Sure. Well, the most distinctive part of the Crystal Ray Network is the work-study program. The term that is now used for the work-study program is HIRE for Ed, H-I-R-E, and the numeral 4, and then ED. So the HIRE for Ed program helps the students and the families finance this education, but at the same time gives them real-world applications that they can then use in college and life beyond. So not only is the mission college prep, but the mission is also to have the students work ready at the end of 4 years, and those go hand in hand. And each year we get better at integrating what they learn out in the corporate internships into the classroom too. Even right now we've got an advisory group as part of our HIRE for Ed office that meets, where we have different representatives from the corporations and our business partners address this curriculum and address how the students can continue to apply what they learn outside and then use that in the classroom too.
Does that application component, Joe, does that change from what you've seen so far, even at St. Martin de Porres, does it change the expectations of the students, the expectations of the parents as to what they're going to experience, and for the parents, what their son or daughter is going to be prepared for after they leave?
No, there's no doubt about it. We initially, upon interview, as you know, when they're in eighth grade, the families and the students will visit with us and talk about their expectations, and that part of the reason they're even here is because they want the best kind of future for their son or daughter. Even 60% of our freshman class this year would be the first in their families to attend college. But beyond that, as they go through the 4 years, it builds their confidence, it builds their self-esteem, it teaches them all the things that the training program requires about professional etiquette, how to deal with adults and adults out in the work world. And then in the end, we talk about changing life trajectories is what we're really about here, and that's what makes it unique is the students consistently highlight the fact that the work study program is, if not one of their favorites, their favorite aspect of the school.
And in order for that to work, there's really got to be a real network that's built among both the community and the corporate partners, right, to provide these opportunities for the students?
That's correct. And so at this point, we are so grateful for our business partners. They are the engine that drives our financial model in the Crystal Ray Network. This year, we had 49 for-profit partners here at St. Martin de Porres High School and six nonprofit partners from all around the Lake County region, extending down to Lake Cook Road on the south and up to Zion on the north. And we provide transportation for all the students to go out to those jobs. And as we get into next year, we continue to look for more partners that are willing to take on a team of students. And that team of students consists of four students covering one job. And the annual cost of doing that is $25,000. So the students will cover an entry-level position for 10 months out of the year. And what we found is that the corporate partners value that renewable source of labor.
Sure.
That the students provide. And then also, in the end, the employees really make this connection with the students. And we've seen that even our year-end event with the business partners. We had some of our students give awards to those employees that they've worked with so closely, and you can see the mentoring that's gone on that enhances what they're already learning in school.
Sure, and developing also lifelong contacts while they're in that kind of situation for potential future employers, and really building at a very early age a network that will help these students for many years to come.
Well, that's right, and another unique thing that's happening too is now that we're 5 years old, some of the companies have begun to talk about, well, now I can set up an internship that's just a St. Martin de Porres exclusive internship for when some of the students come back from college for their freshman, sophomore, junior years, because these students who are dedicated to coming back to the area here in Waukegan, Greater Lake County, and use these skills, then the companies want to help them do that. And they even over the summers and over Christmas breaks, they've already hired the students to continue to work when it's not part of the normal school requirement.
Talking with Joe Valinsky, who is the Director of Development for St. Martin de Porres High School, a 5-year young high school in Waukegan, Illinois, and we'll continue our conversation in just a moment. You're listening to Catholic Schools Today on Relevant Radio, 950 AM. I'm Wayne Majors. Our telephone number, if you'd like to join us, 312-255-8408, and we'll be right back.
Answer the call to the priesthood. Is God calling you?
You know, I'm honored to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I think it's great.
There's a desire to want to give back and to help and to serve those who are especially in need. I think there's a wonderful opportunity for us to bring good news to a world that's very much in need.
When I experience through my ministry someone being brought closer to the Lord, it's an exciting, thrilling moment.
If you feel God's call to a priestly vocation, contact us at 312-751-8298 or visit our website at chicagopriest.com. John Paul II once said, "Do not be afraid. Open your heart to Christ. The deepest joy there is in life is the joy that comes from God. Jesus is the hope of the world. The people are calling. The world is calling. God is calling. Answer the call to the priesthood."
The key to transforming society to the gospel of life is prayer. This is why the Chicago 40 Days for Life prayer campaign is so important. Join us on Monday, June 15th at 6:30 p.m. for a planning meeting at St. Mary of the Angels Parish on Chicago's northwest side. Get involved in this major prayer campaign that is 40 consecutive days, 24 hours a day. Last year, more than 14 children were saved from abortion because of this peaceful, prayerful witness. For more information, call the Respect Life office at 312-534-5355. That's 312-534-5355. We pray to convert hearts and minds. We pray for couples considering abortion. And we pray that our nation might become a place where every human life is cherished and protected. Join us on Monday, June 15th. Call us at 312-534-5355 for more information.
And welcome back to Catholic Schools Today on Relevant Radio, 950 AM. Our telephone number, 312-255-8408, if you'd like to join in on the conversation. Joe Valinsky, who is the Director of Development for St. Martin de Porres High School up in Waukegan, up in Lake County, is our guest this morning, talking about the 2009 graduating class and the program at St. Martin de Porres. Joe, we started the first segment of the program talking a little bit about the corporate component, the work-study piece of the Cristo Rey model, but walk us through a typical day in the life of a St. Martin de Porres student. The school days are a little longer, the school years are a little longer, and in addition to the academic and work experience, there's kind of a connection between the two that's part of the curriculum.
Sure. So you'll have a student that each month works 5 days. So those are 5 days where they're then not in the classroom, and so they are then responsible for those lessons that they don't necessarily miss, but it's then the amount of study they have to do is intensified during that period. So a typical day when you're going to work will start at, you know, with 7:30 a.m. They check in, they're transported to their job sites by 8:30, and then they are then picked up usually about 4:30, 5 o'clock. And then at the same time, then three of the other classes that are not working, that they will be on site doing their studies for that day. In advisory, though, what we started this year was our higher for ed advisory. So during those advisory sessions, when you know a lot of high schools will use that for general, you know, various things, we started to use it where either a business partner would come in and make a presentation, or even they have a chance to reflect on how their work experience is going during those times too, and then begin to think about some of the applications that they bring from the workplace, and then think about, okay, well, this is why I'm learning some of these things in my various subjects.
How does the connection happen between the faculty member in the classroom and, if you will, the supervisor out in the workplace?
Well, what generally happens is our work study director here, Jane Maloney, does a wonderful job of managing the entire program. So she will be in touch with our principal, and the principal and the work study director and the Crystal Ray Network is a key relationship, because they are both working with the students on the academics and also on the work study, and they go hand in hand. It's part and parcel to getting them to graduate. For example, you would not be able to be part of the graduating class if you needed to make up work days. The work component is just as important as the academics. So as the work study director sets up what we want to do with the advisory, she's in close contact with the principal, and then the principal is then informing the faculty about what's going on. And there's times where the faculty and the business partners have made connections where, for example, we would got science equipment donated because we have a company that's in the scientific field that then donated something because they heard about our needs in the classroom.
Now, you mentioned 97% of the 29 seniors who graduated this past Saturday are going on to college. How does that? How do you work with those students in really identifying the right fit for them in their next step in a college experience?
Sure. Well, our college counseling program is critical to all of that. So, in the college counseling program, we begin the process, freshman year, in terms of educating both the students and the families about here's what needs to happen along the way in order for you to reach your goals with college. And so, some students have pursued it from the aspect of another college even had a work-study program that they wanted to then continue in a work-study program in college, and other students will then pursue it based on, for example, what they learned out in their higher for ed placement. So one of our graduates this year, Daisy Estella, was offered a position with Gaywald Hamilton Associates, which is a civil engineering firm in Vernon Hills, and she is now going to pursue civil engineering after being there. And then we also have another senior, Laura Arano, was hired by Abbott Laboratories Credit Union because of her work there, and so now she is going to work there full time while also pursuing her college studies.
Now, do most students have college in sight when they start at St. Martin de Porres, or are many of them directed toward that as they go through the program?
We're as clear as we can be up front with our expectations and the fact that we want 100% of these students to go to college. So that is a focus right from the outset, and we set that tone.
Okay. Now, what kind of colleges are your 97% of the class this year going to? Give us a sampling.
Sure. Well, you've got, it does vary. We have students going to Michigan State University. We have students going to Ripon College on a full scholarship. We have a couple students going to Bradley. We have our valedictorian. He's going out to California to be at the University of San Francisco. And then, Wayne, I'm proud to say that two of our students will be attending Loyola University of
Chicago
next year.
Excellent. I was waiting for that name, Joe. Otherwise, we're going to cut this interview off.
And so one of those students, Wendy Esparza, our salutatorian, just a great story, and she will be attending Loyola next year on what is the inaugural Cristo Rey Scholar Program at Loyola, which gives graduates from the 22 schools in the Cristo Rey Network now that are located across the country, and that gives you a great idea of the reach of Cristo Rey at this point. She was one of the students accepted to be part of this Cristo Rey Scholar Program, has now received a full ride to Loyola, which is valued at, with room and board at $41,000 per year.
That's terrific. Well, we look forward to seeing her around campus. You know, another dimension of all this, Joe, is the diversity of your student body. I mean, you've got not only ethnic and cultural diversity, but financial diversity, too, and a different mix of students. How does that play into the kind of student that leaves St. Martin de Porres?
Well, as part of the Crystal Ray Network, there is a specific income level at which we will accept students. So the outreach to low-income families is there. The diversity then is Waukegan, North Chicago. We serve primarily Latino and African American students. But the thing you have in common with all of them is that their goal is to have this future that includes college. And it includes work, so they may come from some backgrounds where that isn't historically something that has been traced back throughout the years in their family, but they are determined to do it, and so that sort of unifies the student body when they're working as hard as they can for 4 years. That brings them together, regardless of their diversity, regardless of their financial situation. They all realize that this is a great opportunity for them to get to college.
Now, you have opportunities for potential students to get connected to St. Martin de Porres as potential future freshmen. What's the best way for them to do that? Telephone number, website, campus visits, etc.
Sure. You want to go to the website, smdpwaukegan.org, or freshman families can also call our enrollment director. His name is Pierre Edmonds, and he is at 847-244-6895, extension 225. And I will also put a plug in too for our work study program. If you are interested in being a work study partner and giving these students that opportunity in the corporate environment, then please give our work study director, Jane Maloney, a call, and she is at 847-244-6895, extension 226.
Great. Now the website again is smdpwaukegan.org, and the telephone number 847-244-6895, extension 225 for prospective students, and really 7th, 8th graders, you see both, or even sooner than that?
No, it's really 7th and 8th graders, and we will do the shadowing and the visits. We even have, the admissions process is rolling right up until the end of July, but for the most part right now, our next year's class is pretty much set at this point. But if you still really have a desire to be here, we want to hear from you.
Okay, and it's never really too early to start thinking about it and start talking with some of the folks at your place to see if this is the right spot. It's probably not the right place for every student, right? I mean, there are some that maybe just aren't a good fit.
That's correct. I mean, at the end of the day, the student. We try and accept across a wide variety of academic abilities, but you've got to be willing to work. The work ethic is key, and so when you go out into the work situations, the need to be employable is there.
Well, Joe, congratulations on all the good work that you're doing. 97% is almost perfect. So when we invite you back on the show, I'm sure you'll have a story of a 100% graduating class. It's not too far off, I'm sure.
That sounds great, Wayne, and thank you very much. We're looking forward to our students being at Loyola with you next year.
Thank you. Joe Valinsky, Director of Development for St. Martin de Porres High School up in Waukegan. The telephone number, again, for more information is 847-244-6895. And you're listening to Catholic Schools Today on Relevant Radio, 950 AM, and we'll be right back.
Catholic Charities is providing community health fairs with free medical services to residents of Chicago and the suburbs. Our next fair is scheduled for Saturday, June 20th at Holy Cross Immaculate Heart of Mary, 4557 South Wood in Chicago. The health fairs are open to the public and offer various medical screenings, dental exams, immunizations, and general physicals for adults and children. Local social service providers will be in attendance, offering a one-stop shop approach for families in need of assistance. Volunteers are needed to do a variety of tasks at the fairs, including helping to register participants and guide them from station to station. Please call 312-655-7298 for more information. That's 312-655-7298. We hope you take advantage of our Catholic Charities Community Health Fairs.
Time now for a Catholic Festival of Faith news update.
Online registration is now being accepted for this two-day celebration of our faith, scheduled for the Stevens Convention Center in Rosemont on October 16th and 17th. Go to www.catholicfest.org to register and to learn about the speakers, activities, and entertainment being planned. That's www.catholicfest.org.
Stay tuned to Relevant Radio for more Catholic Festival of Faith news updates.
Good morning and welcome back to the program on Catholic Schools Today, Relevant Radio, 950 AM. I'm Wayne Majors with you on a Monday morning in June, although it doesn't feel like a Monday morning in June. Our telephone number, 312-255-8408, if you'd like to join in on the conversation this morning. In August, school will be different at both St. Mary of Częstochowa and St. Priscilla's in Cicero, Illinois. Both of their traditional schools will close after this academic year because of declining enrollments and financial difficulties. But the communities and leaders of those two parishes have come together to develop some new early childhood education programs aimed specifically at children ages 3 through 8. And we're going to learn a little bit more about both those programs this morning. Joining us this segment of the program is Clem Martin, who is the principal of St. Francis of Rome and the soon-to-be director of Cicero Catholic Schools. Is that right, Clem?
Yes, it is.
And welcome to the program. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having me.
Tell us how this started, and in your new role as director of the Cicero Catholic Schools, what role are you going to be playing in these new early childhood programs at these two parishes?
Well, I'm going to be only dealing with the one at St. Mary's of Częstochowa, but over the past few months, we've been talking about different ways to reinvigorate Catholic schools here in Cicero. So one of the ways in which we're doing that is we're restructuring the organization of the Cicero Catholic Schools under one board of specified jurisdiction. That'll begin for the upcoming school year.
Okay.
And so, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
And so one of the things that we're doing is creating an early childhood center at the St. Mary of Częstochowa site, where the school is currently closing, and we're going to reopen it as an early childhood center with programs beginning with 3- and 4-year-olds, pre-K through third grade.
All right. Now, where do you start when you start an early childhood program? Do you start with the faculty? Do you start with the program? A little bit of both, and are you ready to go for August?
A little bit of both. We're definitely ready to go for August. We had a great meeting last week with people from the Roland Reading Foundation, and they're going to be giving us a tremendous amount of support to get this program up and running for the upcoming year. They have a curriculum program that we're going to be able to be using, and then we're also looking for great staff members to begin the building process over there at St. Mary's.
And how did the connection with Roland come about?
Through Sister Mary Paul in from the downtown offices, the superintendent was able to make the connection with Pleasant Roland at the NCAA convention out in California this past spring.
Okay. The need for such a program in a community, Clem, I'm sure is a question that you've already addressed and answered, but in a community like Cicero, the need for an early childhood program, especially directed for children ages 3 to 8, how did you go about kind of testing the waters to make sure that a program like this was going to fly?
There, in Cicero, there's a ton of young families, and new families keep moving into the community. So we know that there's a definite need for these programs. The Cicero Youth Task Force and other groups in the neighborhood have already done studies on what are some of the needs in the neighborhood, and early childhood education is one of the things that continues to come up over and over again. And so families are looking for a quality program that we'll be able to provide for them at the St. Mary's site. But it's definitely there's definitely a demand in the neighborhood because of the high amount of young families.
Okay. What is the program going to look like? Is it a half-day program, 5 days a week, 3 days a week, or is it kind of flexible based on the needs of the young person and the family?
It's going to be a 5-day program, from a full-day program beginning at 8 in the morning and going to 2:35 in the afternoon. And so it'll run 5 days a week, just like a traditional school day would run.
Okay. That's quite a commitment for a 5-year-old.
Yeah, they for even the 3- and 4-year-olds, they have their nap time built in, and so they have rest time throughout the day. So it's not a full day with academic rigor. There's a lot of the socialization and different things like that, and so there's play time built into the day.
Okay.
As well, and they do take their rest periods as well.
All right. So reading, science, field trips, relax time, play time, is that kind of all in the mix?
Oh, definitely. And we've also had the Pre-K for All grant there through the state of Illinois for the past couple of years as well. So that helps us give materials and supplies and provides some funding for field trips to different areas as well. So.
Okay. Tell us about that grant for those who may not be familiar with it. How does that do for you?
It's for the early childhood throughout the state of Illinois, and so this gives us helps us with grant funding and provides 2.5 hours of education free for the students. So part of their education is subsidized by the state throughout the day, but we offer a full-day program, and that's a segment of the day. They offer funding for some field trips and some supplies and materials that we're able to use in the classrooms as well.
Okay. You know, early childhood education has really come a long way over the past decade, especially in being responsive to not only the very diverse interests of students at this age, but also tending to their intellectual development. How do you respond to somebody who might say, gee, you know, for a 3, a 4, a 5, a 7-year-old or an 8-year-old, this is too much structure, this is too much too early, and really you're depriving a young person of their playtime of being a child. How do you respond to something like that?
I just ask them to come visit the classrooms, and they see that the kids aren't lined up in rows, that the kids are actually in different centers throughout the classroom, enjoying themselves, making friends, enjoying learning. So it's not a program where there's a teacher standing in front of the room kind of asking kids to recite things or different things like that. They're actually learning through interaction with different objects, interactive science, inquiry-based things. And so it's really neat to watch the kids learn in this environment where it's they're kind of developmentally appropriate instruction going on. The kids are learning and making friends throughout the day.
And there's a lot of, I think the term is differentiated instruction going on too, right? Where individual students are, if they are a better reader, for example, than other students within their age group, they're going to be challenged a little more than those who may be struggling a bit.
Yeah, we definitely try and meet all the kids where they are, like meet the kids where they are and try to bring them to where they need to be and challenge all the students within the classroom.
Okay. Now, you're going to become the, or you're soon to take the official role of Director of Cicero Catholic Schools. In that role, Clem, how are you going to be interfacing both with the program at St. Mary's and potentially other programs like this in Cicero or not?
Yes, we have early childhood programs at all three sites. And so at St. Francis of Rome, Our Lady of Charity, and St. Mary of Częstochowa will have early childhood programs. And I'll be interacting with all three different sites. We'll have campus administrators at St. Francis of Rome and at Our Lady of Charity. And at St. Mary of Częstochowa, we're going to have a lead teacher assuming some of those responsibilities.
Okay. And where are most of the faculty coming from? Are some of them coming from the two schools that have closed, or are we building a new faculty from scratch for this program?
We're building a new faculty from scratch. Teachers need an 04 certificate to be able to teach in this program, and it's a relatively new certificate within the state of Illinois. And so a lot of veteran teachers don't have that certificate, even though they've taught in early childhood education for quite some time.
Okay.
And so we'll be building a new staff.
All right. And is that staff ready to go, ready for August, or are we still looking for faculty members?
We're definitely still going through the interviewing process, but the staff will be ready to go for August.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about how this program, amidst the closing of a school like St. Mary's, has resonated within the faith community at the parish. I'm sure it's always difficult to close a school, regardless of the reasons. There are always some who strongly oppose and for a variety of reasons would like to see a program continue. Has this early childhood program helped stem a little bit of the anxiety within what you've seen in some of these parishes?
Well, I think at St. Mary's they had a great tradition of like academic excellence for so many years, for over a century. And so I think it was difficult for the parish community to close the school, but I think many people are excited about the opportunity that there will be a faith-based education program that will stay alive at the school for the upcoming school year.
Okay, and we want to talk a little bit about the faith-based piece of it as well as we continue with the program. You're listening to Catholic Schools Today on Relevant Radio 950 AM. My guest is Clem Martin. He is the principal of St. Francis of Rome and now the director of the Cicero Catholic School System. If you'd like to join in on the conversation with any questions, our telephone number is 312-255-8408, and we'll be right back.
The cemetery ministry is a core ministry of our Catholic faith tied to the corporal works of mercy. Cardinal George says, "It's comforting to know that our Catholic cemeteries are caring for the remains of our loved ones awaiting the resurrection. There are 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries willing to help you during times of loss. Call 708-449-6100 for assistance. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the three R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son isn't a number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
And welcome back to Catholic Schools Today on Relevant Radio 950 AM. My guest this segment of the program is Clem Martin, who is the principal at St. Francis of Rome and also the director of the Cicero Catholic Schools and overseeing one of several of actually three sites within Cicero at St. Mary of Częstochowa is one of them, of a new early childhood program that will be starting up in August. And just before the break, Clem, you mentioned that not only are these programs going to be offering a variety of academic and opportunities for students to interface with one another in playtime and field trips, but they're also faith-based, right?
Oh, definitely. They're going to have the Catholic component as part of a major part of the curriculum. Yeah.
Okay. And how does that happen at within these programs? Give us some sense.
I think it starts with pastoral leadership. Here at St. Francis, we have Father Mark, who's been very good at infusing Catholic values throughout the school and connecting the school and parish communities. He's going to be the pastor at both St. Francis of Rome and at Our Lady of Charity next year, so I'm sure we're going to have that continued support for the faith-based programs in the schools. And at St. Mary of Częstochowa, the parish priests over there have agreed to support the sacramental preparation programs that are over in the school as well.
Okay. Now, do you have a board that's directing all of these programs, either at the individual parishes or throughout the town of Cicero?
We're in the process of creating that board now, and we're expecting to have our first meeting at the end of July or the very beginning of August. And so we've been actively recruiting new members to that board from the business community, and different organizations within the Cicero community.
All right. And what's going to be the job of the board?
To oversee the governance of the schools. Like the pastor will still be on top of the board of specified jurisdiction, and then they will be above me as the executive director of the schools. And so they will be, you know, kind of financial oversight, looking at the academic programs offered, kind of like a traditional board at schools would be.
Okay. And tell us where, you know, granted it's a program that's first going to be starting in August, but I'm sure you've thought about as the program gets started and as the program stabilizes, how do you see it growing? Are you starting with a limited number of students in the program? Do you think you're going to be in a position of not being able to accept all of the students that want to enroll in these programs? But what is kind of your crystal ball future look into this program?
I think at St. Mary's, we're going to start relatively small. I think we'll have between 30 and 40 students for the first year. And I think within a few years, we'll have close to 100 students in the program over there.
Okay. And will they be in classroom situations of 20, 30, 40? Or how does it actually going to work? Divided by age groups, clusters of age groups?
We're going to have our pre-K classroom next year, which will have 3- and 4-year-olds. And then we're going to have an ungraded multi-age classroom for the remaining students in that kindergarten, third grade age group. And in that group, we're expecting a smaller number, probably between 10 and 20 students.
Okay. Do parents play a role in this, Clem? Do they either actively within the programs or the field trips or in conferences with faculty and teachers that are going to be in this program? What role do the parents, or what role should the parents play at this point?
We've had great support from our parents within the Cicero community at any one of the schools, and so we expect that to continue. Parents are asked to volunteer 20 hours in the schools each year, and we don't have any problems with parents doing that. Parents love to go on field trips. Parents love to come in and help out at classroom events and parties and different educational experiences. So parents are actively involved already in their children's education, and we expect that to continue into the future.
And that's really important to making sure that it works, and it works within the family structure, and it also meets the expectations not only of the parents, but kind of helps the parents, and at some point, especially for some of the older youngsters, an opportunity to kind of plan the next steps as to what happens after, right?
Yeah, it definitely does. Yep.
Okay. You mentioned the parents' requirement for what I think it was 20 hours of volunteer service. Is that a requirement also to accept a child into the program? I mean, must the parents kind of be vested in this as well?
Yeah, we ask that all our parents at all the schools, that's part of our tuition contract with the families, that they do have to volunteer 20 hours in the school throughout the school year. And those hours can be done not only in the school but in the parishes as well.
Okay. Tuition, how much?
$3,250 for the upcoming school year.
Okay. Of course, I'm thinking back now to my days as an undergraduate. That was probably my tuition for one semester at undergraduate college education. What kind of financial aid, what kind of opportunities are available for families to help crack the financial nut here?
Well, the families that are in the pre-K program, if the state grant comes through again with the state funding, that lowers their tuition by approximately $1,000 as well, so it lowers the monthly payment by about $100. And so it ends up only being about $250 a month to enroll in a full-day program at the Catholic school, so which is very affordable compared to many of the daycare centers that are out there in the community.
Sure, okay. And is that money likely to flow, or are you kind of holding your breath that it's going to be available for next year?
I think it's going to continue because early childhood education is so important. I hope the state leaders recognize that fact and institute the funding again for next year.
Okay. You are going to be coordinating all of this within the town of Cicero, looking at the governance of it, looking at the curricular aspects of it as well. And we talked earlier about the idea that in order for a good early childhood program to work, it's really also an exercise in understanding and really getting to know the complexities of individual groups of young people who are going through these programs. Is there any statistics, Clem, to support that youngsters who are in early childhood programs, early childhood education programs, do better later in school?
I think there are statistics to prove that, and I think some of the proof is in the day-to-day things I see here at school. Many of the students who start with us earlier have greater and greater success as they continue throughout our programs and into the upper grades, and then on into high school. I've been at St. Francis now for 6 years, and so some of the kids that were in our pre-K program years ago are already moving into our middle grades, and they're doing very well academically and socially in our school.
Okay, and there's something to be said not only for the reading, writing, arithmetic, if you will, within the schools for early childhood, but also the interaction, students with other students with parents, students with others' parents on field trips and getting out there, kind of building an interpersonal network very early on in these young people's lives, right?
I think that's the whole Catholic community that we've built here at the schools, and we do a great job with. I think families are involved, students are involved. So the families all know one another from the parental involvement in the school. The kids are friends, their parents are friends, and so they do a lot of activities throughout. And it builds a strong community here at the schools and in the parish.
Well, best of luck to you in your role as director of the Cicero Catholic Schools and principal of St. Francis of Rome in steering this new early childhood program through the community. We'll invite you back at some point in the future to get a sense of how it's all going. Clem Martin, director of Cicero Catholic Schools, thanks for being with us this morning.
Thank you for having me.
And I'm Wayne Majors. This is Catholic Schools Today on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Our telephone number 312-255-8408. And we'll be right back.
The Chicago Catholic Scripture School is now accepting applications for classes starting in September throughout the Archdiocese. This is our Bible study program for adults. Students come together weekly to pray and study the Word of God with teachers who are themselves strong Catholics with an extensive background in Scripture and theology. Year 1 classes will be held at St. Anne's in Barrington, St. Joseph in Libertyville, St. Julie Billiard in Tinley Park, St. Teresa of Avila in Lincoln Park, and St. Philip Neri in the South Shore neighborhood. There will be a year 1 class in Spanish at St. Cecilia in Mount Prospect and Precious Blood on Chicago's west side. And our first scripture school in Polish will be held at St. Hyacinth Basilica. For more information or to register for the Chicago Catholic Scripture School, visit www.catechesis-chicago.org or call 312-534-8053. That's 312-534-8053 and www.catechesis-chicago.org.
The Archdiocese of Chicago has launched a blog and wants you to join in the conversation. Here's Cardinal Francis George talking about modern communications.
Church was in radio when it first started and then television. Now with the blogs and the internet and all, the church has to be there too for the same reason St. Paul was in the town square in Athens and Corinth, the Areopagus, where people would come together and listen to everybody talk. Well, that Areopagus is now electronic.
Cardinal George will rotate with other archdiocesan leaders in posting their thoughts on faith-based topics and taking part in this electronic dialogue. Visit our blog at www.archchicago.org. Read what Catholic leaders have to say and become part of the discussion. That's www.archchicago.org. We hope to hear from you soon.
We'll see how this works. I'm curious myself. I'm looking forward to it.
And welcome back to Catholic Schools Today on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Michael, I didn't know that I would have lived to see the day that the Cardinal would be talking about his own blog on Relevant Radio. Just another factor that we are on the cutting edge of communication here at the Archdiocese of Chicago. Welcome back to the program. I'm curious, too, to see how that's going to go. I think it's a great idea. Wayne Majar is with you this morning. Our telephone number is 312-255-8408. In the last section of the program, we're going to be talking about another early childhood education program called the Academy of St. Priscilla. St. Priscilla's is located at 7001 West Addison Street in Chicago. And joining us is Jennifer Hodge, who is the director of the Academy of St. Priscilla, and also Al Schorsch, who is the board chair. Jennifer and Al, good morning and welcome to Catholic Schools Today.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Wayne.
This is a this is another exciting program, and as the old St. Priscilla School is closing at the end of this school year, this is kind of an invigorating new way to keep the spirit of education alive at St. Priscilla's, right?
Most definitely.
Jennifer, tell us a little bit about how the idea started and what the program is going to look like come August.
Well, the idea basically started from the Board of Specified Jurisdiction. There was a core team that gathered that did not want to see the school go away. And from that, we have the new Academy of St. Priscilla, a program for ages 3 through 8, basically preschool through 2nd, maybe 3rd grade, depending on ability. And the school is taking a different approach to education, focusing on differentiated instruction and project-based learning. With that, we will also be using technology, whether it be laptops or smart boards. And also, we have the support of the Roland Reading Foundation.
Okay, and tell us about that support. How did that connection get made?
Through Sister Mary Paul. She had talked with Pleasant Roland, and Pleasant focuses on early childhood education with reading and writing and spelling, phonemic awareness, things of the like. And so with that, the relationship grew. I met with Pleasant Roland, Sister Mary Paul, and a few other principals last week, so the program has begun in full force.
Al, as the board chair, tell us a little bit about what the board's role is going to be as the Academy of St. Priscilla starts.
Well, it's been interesting, Wayne. Initially, we got together at the invitation of many of the parents who were trying to save the school, and they went citywide looking for people that they knew in their social networks. So eventually the board will settle down to a much more traditionally supportive role of the role of the director of the school. But presently we're in a very active mode recruiting families for the school. There's approximately 5,000 households in the St. Priscilla's parish area. And the area was the home of the World War II Greatest Generation. It's part of the bungalow belt and apartments. And as many of those folks pass on, new families have come into the area at a pretty high rate. So it's really an evangelization process presently to locate the new families with young kids. And there are many, many of them who may have been away from the church and are now ready to come back. And so right now we've been engaged in a very intensive effort with thousands and thousands of flyers and many volunteers to locate all the young families in the neighborhood to reengage them with the church.
Okay. After that process, and as you kind of get through that process, one of the other questions I'm sure the board faced was, how do we start? Do we do just a preschool program? Do we do preschool through third grade? Is it a full-day program, a half-day program? Give us a little insight as to how all of those foundational decisions came about.
Working with the parents and with some of the teachers, existing teachers, the present teachers from the outgoing St. Priscilla School, we put together a survey of all the parents of the present school and determined the interest. And we were given some enrollment goals by the Office of Catholic Schools to meet. We met the pre-enrollment goals for the 3 to 8 year old program. So there was a little bit of science to it, in a survey that went home to all the families and a communications effort around that. Once we settled on the 3 to 8 year old program, then Jennifer and the Office of Catholic Schools were very, very helpful in with the programmatic components of the new school.
So Jennifer, how many students are you going to start with in August?
Well, we are at a firm number of 40 at about now, and hopefully we will gain more enrollment during the summer.
Okay. Looking through a little bit of the detail on your website on the types of educational experiences that that these youngsters are going to be receiving, I was bowled over by words like role of technology, differentiated instruction, tiered lessons with different degrees of difficulty, and it harkens back to we're not in Kansas anymore. Early yeah. childhood education has gotten a lot more complicated than it used to be. It's probably as differentiated and complex as education in the elementary or secondary levels.
Mm-hmm. We want to make sure that our children are successful, and in doing that, we have the work of Carol Ann Tomlinson with differentiated instruction, making sure that all the needs of the students are met, even those students that may struggle with a learning disability. Working with the Roland Reading Foundation, they have coaches that will be able to come in and educate the teachers and myself on how to work with those students that have some learning disabilities with reading or auditory skills, because we want to be all-inclusive. We may not have the ability right now to have a full staff member in special education, but we want to make sure that we are working and meeting the needs of all the students.
Okay, I want to talk a little bit more about differentiated education and also about some of the project-based learning that's going to be going on in the program at the Academy of St. Priscilla. Jennifer Hodge and Al Schorsch has been are with us, and we're going to take a quick break and come right back after this.
If you haven't read the Catholic New World lately, you're in for quite a surprise. It's bigger, bolder, and better than ever before.
The Catholic New World is a rich and diverse resource for Catholics throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago. It carries stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Our most read column is written by our publisher, Cardinal Francis George, our shepherd, teacher, and leader.
Our columnists provide support in spirituality and evangelization, and you'll want to browse the Around the Archdiocese page, your gateway to Catholic activities throughout Cook and Lake Counties.
In our next few issues of the Catholic New World, enjoy our Finding Grace series, The Seven Deadly Sins and Their Heavenly Virtues.
Visit our website at www.catholicnewworld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and while you're there, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777.
Better than ever, subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
You're invited to watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Here's host Graziano Marcheschi.
Would you like to discuss faith-based issues with Cardinal George and other archdiocesan leaders? Stick around. We'll tell you about our newly launched blog. We'll visit with two organizers of the Catholic Festival of Faith and tell you how to register for this wonderful October event. And Catholic school children put their artistic talents to good use by drawing anti-drug messages. These stories and more are coming your way in this latest edition of The Church, the Cardinal, and You.
For several interesting stories about the Archdiocese, please watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Radio TV for the time and cable channel in your area. That's www.archchicago.org. The Church, the Cardinal, and You, compelling television about your Archdiocese.
Welcome back to Catholic Schools Today, talking about the Academy of St. Priscilla, which is going to be beginning their new early childhood program in August. Jennifer, before the break, mentioned the word project-based learning, which mm-hmm. is going to be a component of all this. Tell us a little bit about what that means to an early childhood program.
With the project-based learning component, the students will be able to explore some real-world problems and challenges that the teachers provide for them. It will be guided, however, by the teachers, because the project-based learning aspect is really successful with the older students, but we are going to scale it back to make sure that the student lessons are centered around the early childhood ages. The teachers will be able to provide examples for the students to explore, working in small groups and centers, things of that nature.
Al, as this program begins and then as it progresses, has the board begun to think about evaluative tools, evaluative measures on where the program may be going or growing into the future?
Wayne, yes. Working along with the Office of Catholic Schools, it's really in charge of the Catholic curriculum and the evaluation of the curriculum from an educational standpoint. We are really intensively working with the parents and encouraging the parents to find other families, because if we can get many families into the school, this program can grow and be a self-sustaining program.
Your best promotion is going to be word of mouth from students and their parents who have had the experience, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Yes, and at this point, we're relying on dozens and dozens of alumni in the area, many of the parents, and we've been holding weekly informational meetings for these interested parents in order to keep that communication flow going, as well as our website. Would now be a good time to mention the website? It's www.stpriscillaacademy.org, and the phone number interested families can call is 312-534-5203.
Okay, give us the phone number once again. It's 312-534-5203.
That's correct.
And it's stpriscillaacademy.org.
That's correct.
Jennifer, we've got just 30 seconds left, but the parents are also playing a role in all of this, right?
Correct. The parents are the first and foremost educators of their children. So we are standing by their beliefs and working with them to educate the whole child.
Okay, and they're going to be playing a role in some of the programs, going on field trips,
exactly.
Those types of things, and that's going to be part of the entire experience.
Correct.
Jennifer Hodge, Al Shorsh from the Academy of St. Priscilla, thanks so much for joining us this morning. Best of luck with the program.
Thank you very much.
My thanks to Ryan Blackburn and Yasmin Kudos, our producers this morning, our engineer Michael May. I'm Wayne Majars for the Catholic Schools Today program. Have a good week. God bless.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day and God bless you.